can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
Welcome to our first show of 2011. This is Dave Laskowski, and Linda and I own Viable Options, the creator of Choices Along the Way. Viable Options is an alternative practice specializing in traditional Chinese herbal formulas, raw foods, juicing through Karen Kipp of Power Your Journey, gravity flow colon therapy, ion chi foot baths, far infrared saunas, new sun products. We feature Dr. Diadamo's Eat Right for Your Blood Type supplements. I also specialize in Western herbology, flower essences, and homeopathy, iridology, and the Zyto Compass body evaluation system. To book an appointment with us at Viable Options for any of the services, you can just give us a call at area code 816-283-0685. I can and do ship products throughout the United States and abroad. We can do evaluations through webcam or Skyping. We can do virtually an online appointment with anyone, anywhere. All you got to do is give us a call, and we can set up a time that's convenient for you. We are extremely excited to bring you our guest today, Mr. John Ashbrook from Michigan, who's a leading numerologist and a very good friend of both Linda and myself.
John and I have been friends for longer than I've been married to David, and that is 20 years. We met under tense circumstances as he was a guest at a gathering I was having when I lived in Michigan. His help that night cemented our relationship that has become a very unique friendship and relationship that we both enjoy and we have grown to trust throughout the past 20 years. I have learned that numbers follow us throughout our lifetime. Within moments of birth, we are evaluated by numbers using the APGAR scoring system to determine our health at this moment. This is then followed by Social Security numbers, telephone numbers, banking numbers, house numbers. Everywhere we turn, we have numbers to contend with. Everything that we have and everything that surrounds us has an energy, and when these energies are put together in a systematic sequence, such as what John does, it tells us a story all about us. The numbers are symbolic of our gifts and talents that are bestowed upon us at birth and what we have the opportunity to expand. So when John comes on, he's going to tell us about the last 3 or 4 years.
Welcome, John. How are you on this bitter cold afternoon here?
David and Linda, so nice to talk to you today. I really appreciate the nice introduction. And, of course, it is the beginning of a new year, and there's lots to talk about as far as the number vibrations for 2011, and we're going to look backward and forward on this.
Okay.
Where would you like me to start?
Well, 2010 was a year filled with drama and surprises and more drama and lots of oh my gods. So tell us what that was all about and what led up to that.
Okay. All right. Let's start here. This is the 21st century, and it was ushered in by the year 2000. So let's talk about the 21st century in the year 2000 first.
All right.
The 21st century literally means the path of the individual. So during the 21st century, the individual is supposed to come to the forefront of our existence with their own creativity and personal expression. Now, I think we see that in the proliferation of these social websites, MySpace, Facebook, etc., where you see people putting their face and putting information about themselves and expressing themselves as an individual. And I think that you'll see this continue to grow. Now, the individual is not something that is necessarily favored by the powers that be. They, of course, understand that individuals are responsible, and therefore they don't necessarily need guidance from eggheads and government officials.
Okay.
So this is something that is a little bit of a conflict right now on our planet. The year 2000 basically says this. The number 2 is talking about direction, and the zeros are talking about all or nothing. So during this 2000 century, from 2000 to 2100, what we're talking about is we're talking about direction and whether or not you're going to the highest possible level or you're going to stay where you are. The zeros mean all or nothing, and what that means is that you get from them what you put into them. Right. In other words, if there's a zero at the end of any number, it's telling you that you will benefit from that number vibration directly proportional to your efforts. If you put in little effort, you'll get little out. If you put in a lot of effort, you'll get a lot out.
Wow.
So as we move through the years 2001, 2002, 2003, different lessons come up for people. Now when we got to the year 2008, that digits, if you'll add it up, it adds up to 10, and 1 and 0 is 1. So 2008 was a universal test year for humanity.
Wow.
And so what that means is it means that people were confronted with tests of the past. In other words, what have you done in the past? Have you learned your lessons? And if you haven't learned your lessons, then you're going to fail the test, so to speak. And as we have seen, there was a lot of trouble around the world starting in 2008. Things really came to a head at that time.
That's when the economy started to go and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's about the time. And so people were tested a little bit as to what they were going to do when these things came up. Now, as we move towards 2009, that's the path of completion, the path of endings, the path of letting go, and the path of healing. So during the year 2009, people had a chance to let go of their old ways, the ways that were no longer serving them any useful purpose. They had a chance to heal from some of the mistakes that they had made earlier in the century and which had come to a head in 2008. And many people, I think, made an effort to do that. Then we come to 2010. Now, 2010 virtually reads the path of tests. And it has what in numerology what we call a nucleus of 5, and that nucleus number is telling people that there's two things going on with 2010. Number one, you're going to be tested as to whether or not you have let go of the past and have truly learned your lessons. And number two, you're going to be tested in the areas of freedom and control. Now, I think that we saw a lot of entities making efforts to control the population during the year 2010.
Oh, that's an understatement. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was met with quite a bit of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is because people are beginning to take the higher road. People are beginning to put their arms around the law of personal responsibility, which is the foundational law of the universe.
Yeah. It seems that there's almost a conflict out there between the folks that really want to upgrade, as you're talking about, and those that want to sit around with a handout, that want to be taken care of all the time.
Well, that's true. That's true. And again, the law of personal responsibility states that whatever happens to you in your life, you create.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not be in total creation of it. In other words, you may be partly responsible for the creation, and you may not be totally responsible. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, your job as an individual, if you want to govern your life in a systematic and positive way, is to always look for your involvement in anything that happens to you. Now, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And those are the people who don't want change. They resist change. They want things to remain the way they are. They feel safe in a changeless state.
Sure.
But a changeless state is not is not what life is about. Life is about change. Life is about progress, expansion, and growth.
Yeah.
And so this is where we're at right now as we hit the year 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have passed the tests of 2010 and are ready to move forward. Some people who have not. And the number 2011, if you add it up, it adds up to 4.
Uh-huh.
And 4 is the number of change, or in the negative sense, the positive, the number of stagnation. So it's either change or stagnate, and that's where we're at right now. Now, the number 11 is a very interesting number because it represents the number of higher awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And higher awareness is what spiritual pursuits are all about. We're trying to take ourselves to a higher level where there's more peace, there's more love, there's more joy, there's more abundance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that can happen is if people take personal responsibility for what they've created, look at it, and then create a better life from what they've learned. And 11 asks them to do that. The number 11 asks them to do that. Now, the nucleus of 2011 is the number 6, and that is the number of balance and commitment. So, 2011 is asking people to make changes in their lives that will take them to a higher level of understanding and of awareness about life, take them to a higher road, so to speak, and be committed in doing that and maintain a balance in doing that, because the extremes are destructive.
Yeah.
There is no room in an extreme to grow. An extreme is paralyzing. So it's asking people to maintain a balance, maintain a commitment, take responsibility for their lives, and seek a higher road of living. And if people do that, then 2011 for them will be a wonderful year. If they don't do it, then whatever is basically happening now will remain. In other words, it'll be a stagnant year for them. The people who take the responsibility and begin to create a new life at a higher level of living, over the next 4 years will grow and progress and reach heights that they had never dreamed of in the past.
Wow. If could we maybe talk about some examples of what personal growth means for people really just embrace that and say, okay, thanks, John, I'd really like to do that. What are some good examples of things that they could do to maybe start improving the quality of their life based on the energetics that are coming in?
Well, I think one of the things is that people have to be a little nicer to themselves. You know, people walk around and, you know, they say they want love, but then they treat themselves in a loveless way. And I think that if you want love from other people, you've got to love yourself first.
Yeah.
And that means you've got to recognize yourself. That means that you've got to give yourself permission to express your individuality into the world. The way I look at personal self-esteem is that it's directly proportional to self-expression. The more you are expressing your individuality,
mm-hmm.
the higher self-esteem you'll have. Now, the higher self-esteem that you have, the more you will be able to recognize something good in another person, and the more you will be able to enjoy their self-expression, and then everybody's self-esteem rises like a rising tide,
sure.
You see. But it begins with the individual.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. With people want to have a tendency, I've noticed, and ourselves, both Linda and I, we've had some really deep discussions about externalizing. It's like praying to God instead of honoring the God inside you. And we want to externalize everything, which puts the responsibility in the government's hands or your church or your pastor or your doctor. Let somebody else drive the bus, when what you're saying is, if I love myself and I know that I'm infinite and I'm immortal, I'll be here forever and ever and ever, if I take a little better care of myself and have a little bit more respect for myself and love myself more, that sounds like one rung on the ladder. That's going to move you up just even faking it.
Yeah, I think that's true. What happens is again, you know, the law of attraction is a law that a lot of people have talked a lot about over the last few years.
Sure.
And in some ways, it's painted as a magical type of thing. In other words, you know, if you give to people, well, they'll give to you. If you're nice to people, well, they'll be nice to you. But the real wording of the law is the way you treat yourself is exactly the way you'll be treated by other people.
Wow.
So, for instance, let's say that you're constantly taking what you have and giving it away as if it doesn't really mean a whole lot to you. Mm-hmm. In that case, you would attract takers, because you're taking from yourself the fruits of your hard-earned labors, and you're dishonoring those fruits by giving them away to people who don't appreciate it.
Wow.
And this is how this law of attraction works. So the better you treat yourself, ultimately the better you'll be treated by other people.
Wow.
It's interesting that they don't, this law of personal responsibility that we've been talking about, in no way can this be painted as magical or fantastic as you can do with the law of attraction.
Sure.
So they never talk about the law of personal responsibility. Nobody writes a book about it, because they can't, you know, turn it into something that's like a fad. The law of personal responsibility is never going to be a fad.
Sure.
Because there are so many people who simply don't want to be personally responsible.
You know, it's interesting, when I have somebody in for a colonic, you know, it's set up that they can literally watch what comes out.
Yeah.
And there are so many people that will close their eyes and say, I don't want to see what's coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you are responsible for putting it in. Why are you not looking? You know, no, I don't need to. And it's interesting how many people don't want to see what kind of mess
mm-hmm.
that they've put in their bodies.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, the you know, there's there was a ancient Greek philosopher. His name escapes me at this point, but he said, "Truth is the mother of all hatred."
Yes.
And this is a guy who lived to be 85 years old, back at a time when people rarely lived beyond 30.
Yeah.
But truth is sometimes very hard for people to deal with, because the truth demands two things that people don't want to have to deal with, and that is the taking of responsibility and the taking of action to change.
Right.
And so as long as they can avoid the truth, they don't have to make those changes, and they don't have to take responsibility for what they've done in the past. But at this particular time in history, I would say that this is almost impossible to avoid. Everyone, in one way or another, is going to have to take some responsibility for their past actions.
Well, it's whatever you project, whatever you're doing today, you're projecting into your future, because it's all energy. And if I'm wreaking havoc and chaos today, at some point in time, I've got a piper I've got to pay. I mean,
that's true.
If you're irresponsible with your finances, you're going to have consequences later. I mean, it's the laws of cause and effect. I mean,
that's exactly correct.
Irrevocable, yeah.
That's exactly correct. So, again, like I say, you know, the last 3 years, 2008, 2009, have really tested people tremendously as to whether or not they've learned their lessons of the past. And like I say, the people who have learned those lessons for 2011, they're going to be seeking that higher road, and they're going to be building a fantastic future for themselves. The people who have not learned the lessons, who have ignored things, they've got a lot of work in front of them there, you know, to take care of it and turn things around. But hopefully the message will get to them one way or another.
Yeah, with this with this financial meltdown that we had, irregardless of how it happened or who created it or whatever, it is, again, it seems, one more opportunity for people to really look at your life. You know, do I need that Mercedes in the driveway? Is a Chevy going to do just fine?
Yeah.
You know, do I need that hot tub? Do I need that widescreen TV? You know, it's, first you got to put food on the table, and you got to make your rent. So it's giving
You know, it's unfortunate. In you know, every good thing offers up a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we do live in an abundant society here in America, it is challenging because, you know, you can become a slave to abundance, and it can rule your life. And after a while, what happens is that there's a little thing called external verification for internal uncertainty, that you begin to judge yourself based on what you have in your external world. And that's not a good thing. As I said earlier, loving yourself is the key to self-esteem, and expressing who you are to the world will guarantee self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So the more you do it, the better you feel about yourself, and the less you need external verification.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what I'm driving. If I feel good about myself and I'm confident about myself and I'm calm and quiet and kind of work really hard to keep the noise down in my life, which is probably one more thing we can talk about. There's so many, with all the social networking that's going on and the perpetual news and the TV and then radio and the crazy music and all that, it's like we're making so much noise so we don't have to pay attention to what's going on around us. Nobody's enjoying that beautiful sunset anymore.
Well, you know, David, what a lot of this is this is emotional indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that people grow is to get control of their emotions rather than their emotions controlling them.
Uh-huh.
And we look at some of these social networking sites and so forth, and we see a lot of childishness where people are letting their emotions rule their lives, and then they're doing, you know, things that get them in trouble or make them look worse than when they started.
Yeah.
I heard the other day that companies are going to begin to ask for your password to your site, to your social networking site, so that they can see what you've been putting on there before they hire you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So again, here's the law of personal responsibility. If you let your emotions rule the day and you put something on your website that's going to make you look bad, you might not get a job.
Yeah. That's pretty scary. Pretty scary.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people on Facebook that, even on Twitter, I see it every day. I'm going to bed now, or I just got up, or I've got a headache. I mean, who cares? I honest to goodness, I really don't care.
Well, that's another interesting aspect. At this time in history, the mass image of self-importance is how many people do I know? How many people know me?
Right.
Am I recognized? Do I have celebrity? How many friends do I have? Is it important for everyone to know what I'm doing? You see, this is the mass image of self-importance in our society today. And, of course, this stuff is really trivial and really unimportant in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, it's 100% ego, and I mean, I'm laughing with you because it just amazes me, and it goes right back to what you were talking about as far as self-esteem. If I'm confident about myself and feel good about myself, I could care less what anybody thinks about me on Facebook, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm always having a good day.
Yeah, That's true. That's very true. But again, you know, this is just the way things are right now, and it's clearing itself all out. You know, everything that happens has a positive and negative side.
Right.
So while these social networking sites offer people a real chance to express to the world who they are, to show off their individuality, they offer just as much of a chance for someone to display their childishness, and we see both.
Yeah. Well, you do see it. It is an opportunity for somebody that might be in their shell and maybe somewhat awkward from a social standpoint to actually get on Facebook and show the world that, yep, I'm here, I have a life, I do this for a living, I've gone here to school, I enjoy myself, I have a family and friends, and for probably, as you're saying, for some individuals, that could be a major, major upgrade for them and an opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In many ways, it could be both self-destructive and, you know, self-building. But I think the idea here is, and the thing that people have to be very careful of, is if you look at Facebook, you look at computers in general, iPhones, Droids, Twittering, texting, all of this stuff, to me, are tools of distraction. In other words, I don't want to be alone with myself. I don't want to observe what I'm doing. So what I'll do is I'll put it out there for other people to observe, and in that way I'll distract myself from really seeing what I'm doing and keep myself again in that changeless state. Creating something that I feel comfortable in, but might not be a growth opportunity for me or anyone else.
Yeah. Wow, amazing.
You know, there's something I want to make clear to anyone listening.
Yeah.
Someone coming to you, John, you know, I know people use tarot and astrology and numerology, and they want to know when they're going to fall in love, what's the next car, what's the... But
yeah.
You are way, way, I mean, you can tell people that, but
yeah.
You're way above that. You're more...
Consultation with someone,
yes.
All of those things are covered. I cover all those things. But I also try to help them overcome some of the things that I see that are holding them back in life. And those would be represented by numbers. Now, see... The person that I call the goddess of modern numerology, Dr. Juno Jordan, wrote that all numbers are good and helpful. And what she meant by that was that any number has positive as well as negative influences.
Right.
And if you know what the negative influences are, you might be able to see that they're influencing your life,
mm-hmm.
and that maybe if you worked a little bit and worked on yourself, you could transfer from the negative to the positive and have a better life as a result. And that's some of the things that I try to point out to people. I try to give them timing of events, in other words, when it would be a good time to do a particular thing. I try to warn them about obstacles that they may run into down the road or in the near future. I try to give people as much guidance as I possibly can in my consultations, but numerology is a wide-open thing. When I make up a chart, it's like a map,
mm-hmm.
and I actually use my intuition to read the map. And I may see something in that map on one occasion that someone needs to hear, and I may see something totally different in that map on another occasion because they need to hear that at that time. So it's just a wonderful way of turning on your intuition, the organized chart that we make up in numerology.
Well, you have guided me for over 20 years when you first came to me as a guest in a Halloween situation, even when we were having a party. That's
yeah.
how we met. And
yeah.
And we can tell that we can tell our listeners that we do not make any major decisions in our lives, Linda and I, without, or our son Jason, without giving John a call and running it up the flagpole just to see how the energies are out there, as far as, you know, because quite often forewarned is forearmed. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting some good advice and bouncing an idea or a thought off of someone who actually doesn't have any equity in it. That's why John works so well, because he's looking at the numbers and he's looking at his intuition, and he's a good 900 miles away from us, so he's not going to see us on an everyday basis. So it's
But yeah, you're right. All it is that there are times, there are energy vibrations when it's right to do something, and there are energy vibrations when it's not right to do something. And, you know, it's pretty easy for me to see those with the experience that I've had, the 20-plus years experience that I've had in doing this.
How long have you actually been doing? I know
been doing numerology since about 1975.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I knew it had to be longer than what I've known you, and that's been 20 years.
Yeah. I didn't do it professionally until about 1988.
Okay.
But I really, because somebody, when I was in college, someone mentioned to me numerology, and it kind of stuck with me, and I went out and I got a book on it, and when I opened up the book, I kind of knew everything in there.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got into it, and, you know, I played around with it for a number of years because, you know, my degree was in industrial management, and I wanted to, you know, have a business career, and I had a successful business career, but when I'd had enough of it, I just decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to take this thing I love to do, and I'm going to start using it to have sort of a semi-retirement and enjoy myself at what I'm doing. And that's how that took off in 1988.
Wow. Very good. I know. I was so blessed when I in Michigan, you know, for some of the people that are not listening from Michigan, they had a magazine called Phenomenews, and John would write articles. And that is where I met John. And I called him up, and he came over, and he gave me a mini reading just based on my name and my birth date, and it was exactly what I was facing that weekend. And he helped me turn everything completely around, which saved my house, my car, my business, and my children. So it was a pretty outstanding weekend that kind of cemented us together.
Well, you know what, Linda, you make it sound magical, but the point is that, you know, I just simply gave you guidance, and then
that's
you
all. Yes.
And you know, if people do that, they get good results.
Yes, and I was open to listening, and I was open to making the changes, and that's what's important. If people aren't open to making the changes, whether you're doing numerology, you're doing colon therapy, or traditional herbal medicines, if you are not open to the changes, it's not going to be heard.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, they say that all pain is a struggle against truth.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So that whenever you're in pain, whether it be physical or emotional, there's something that you're failing to recognize, some truth about yourself that you're ignoring or failing to recognize, and that's what brings on the pain.
Yes, very much so.
A good example, I think, would be, for instance, somebody knocks their knee and gets a knee injury. Well, if you look up that up in Louise Hay's books, the knee is about the stubborn ego.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when somebody's being very stubborn about something, they'll injure their knee. And that injury is kind of a wake-up call that, hey, look, you're not being open to something here, and as a result, you've got pain, and that pain is in your knee, and wherever that pain occurs, that tells you what's going on with you. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, take an athlete. Oftentimes, we hear of athletes having knee injuries and ultimately blowing out a knee. Well, you know, who are more stubborn than athletes? I've seen over my time athletes who injured themselves and kept telling the coach, let me back out on the field.
Yeah.
They, rather than, you know, heal themselves, they ran back out on the field, and then the next thing you know, they had a more complicated injury than they had in the beginning.
And if you take it back a step or two, these are the guys that are getting $30 million a year. They've got an ego the size of Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
They've got a lifestyle and homes, and
yeah.
You see them on the social news all the time, and they're
sure.
All the celebrities, then all of a sudden that gets yanked away in about 30 milliseconds on the football field.
That can happen if they you know, they don't heed the warnings that are given to them by their own body and the vibrational energy around them that attracts these injuries.
I see that on a lesser scale when I do when I'm talking to clients, and they always have a stomach problem. They always have this. They always have that. But they are working 80 hours a week. They will not take a break.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like they feel so much self-importance that if they stepped away from this job even for a moment,
mm-hmm.
everything was going to crumble. And I'm like, are you not listening to your body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, if you fail to recognize truth, then you're going to have pain, whether it be emotional or physical. It doesn't matter. You're going to be in a state of pain.
Yeah.
One of the now that you mention about people overworking and things like that, of course, that is a trait of Western society, is that people are workaholics. But what I find, I've taught this in some of my classes, is if people just follow a simple, what I call the divine triangle. Now, the divine triangle is an equal-sided triangle.
Okay.
On the foundation, on the bottom line of the triangle, you underneath it, you write the word work, because work is the foundation for your life. Up the left side, you write the word play, and down the right side, you write the word relaxation. Now, the more you can keep those three things in balance, because it's an equal-sided triangle, the more power you will gain to form a good life.
Yep.
So all health and abundance and joy and love and everything will flow from that divine triangle if you're able to maintain it. Now, of course, in life, you know, there are times when you got to work more. There are times when you have to relax more. But ultimately, if you can keep that thing pretty much in balance, then all good things will flow from it.
Yeah, I think what people don't realize is that you're going to find the reward in just making the effort. If you're willing to make those changes in your life, and they're not necessarily going to happen overnight, they may take years, but nonetheless, if you're making the effort, you will see results. I mean, it's that fundamental.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, If you're walking around and you're texting and you're Twittering and you're on the phone and all the things that distract you from what is really important, then you can't make the effort and you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a limit to anything, and I think that in today's society, too many people, and you know, I see this with kids. I see a lot of kids in my practice, and they escape from life on these computer games.
Oh, Xbox, yeah.
Xbox, Wii, all these different games.
I know. We have one. We have one
we have
here.
One, we have one here. He's living in the land of Wii. Yes. Him and the Mario Brothers are
yes.
good friends right now.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
But that is something that you have to be careful of, because, you know, anything that you do too much of becomes an addiction.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the nature of the human spirit, is to be addictive to things if it gets involved in them too much, because it becomes part of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower part of your soul likes to collect things. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like, let's say you're in a room, let's say you're in a 10 by 10 room, and in the beginning of your life, there's nothing in the room but you. And over 40 or 50 years, you start collecting stuff. And you pretty soon, there's no room in that room for anything but you and the stuff that you've collected. You can't move at all. You're paralyzed. See? So then you say, okay, you know what? I want freedom. And in order to get freedom, I'm going to have to start throwing some of this stuff out of this room. Well, immediately, the part of you that identifies with all this stuff will try to talk you out of whatever you're trying to get rid of. Mm-hmm. It'll come up with some reason why you need to keep that. And that's just human nature.
I found that this past year. I was going through a bunch of stuff, and not so much material stuff, but emotional stuff, stuff to do with family mm-hmm. on both sides, everywhere. Yeah. And I started letting the emotion of those relationships go, every one of them.
Yeah.
And I figured if I let them go, if they're meant to come back, they'll come back the right way. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of pain, but I finally got to the point where I could just take a deep breath and just let everything go. So I think that's what you're talking
about. Letting go is not difficult, but, you know, the old spiritual principle is if you want to move forward, you usually have to let something go.
Yes, and I needed to move forward, and I could not, dragging the 747 of all these emotional baggage that I've been carrying all these years with all these people.
See, one of the interesting things about emotions is when emotions rule your life, they block logic and knowledge.
Yes.
So that when you're in an emotional situation, you can't really access the logic and the knowledge that could really help you. Mm-hmm. So there are two measurements of spiritual growth, two major measurements. One, how much pleasure can you stand? That's one. And the other measurement is how little do you react to things that you used to react to a lot.
Yes.
So when you can measure your spiritual growth by how much pleasure you can stand. Now when I say that, I'm talking about you've seen people that are having a good time, and then all of a sudden in the wink of an eye,
it's all gone.
They'll do something to sabotage the good time, and it's all over. Well, they've reached the level of pleasure that they can handle, and they don't trust any more pleasure beyond that point. That's what I mean by that. Go ahead.
Well, we wanted to kind of move on because we want to tell people about your website and everything.
Sure.
So,
sure.
First off, 2012 is not the doomsday for everyone that they predict. It's just a bunch of fear-based gobbledygook being thrown out there. We get emails all the time telling us that 2012 is doomsday, and they have a scientific fact and everything. Oh. So much so that one day I went to David and I said, well, you know, the only thing significant in 2012, I think, is that my birthday is 12/12/12.
Yeah.
So I don't think I need to. Do I need to change the celebration to the 11th, or should I bill it as the last blowout party of the human race, or can I just go ahead and have my birthday?
I think I would. I wouldn't worry about it too much, Linda. But the point here is 2012 digits to a five. So that what that's telling you is that there's either going to be an expanded freedom for the people who have taken responsibility for their lives.
Yes.
Or there is going to be less freedom for the people who haven't. That's probably what it means overall.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your website. It is absolutely beautiful, and it gives great things every day to people.
Okay, well, futurebliss.org is the address. Futurebliss.org. And I started it with a couple partners. We're a concerned group of individuals, so to speak, who believe in a positive future for all of humankind. And therefore, the website is designed to promote peace, love, joy, and abundance. And so everything on there in one way or another is attached to one of those four things: peace, joy, love, or abundance.
Okay.
There's a lot of articles on there, spiritual articles. There's
yes, several
articles on there about numerology. There's some interesting photos which have little spiritual phrases attached to them. Kind of symbolic and interesting to look at, very beautiful. There's some fun things that you can do. There's a lot of information on there about how to increase your abundance in life. It's just overall, and we also have a feature where we put a positive weekly thought up, which if people read and they think about, it can be very helpful in their day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
It really is something that I enjoy doing. I like putting up just one positive thought a week on the site, and they're all connected, and they help you to get a better understanding of how you can have a more progressive, expansive life for yourself.
I want our listeners to know that. If you go to BibleOptions.com or ChoicesAlongTheWay.com, our two websites, there we will make sure not only will this radio show be archived there for everyone to listen to at a later date,
mm-hmm.
but we'll make sure that we have some links there so you can get to John's website on a regular basis. We also want to make sure if somebody would like a consultation with you, what's the best number for them to call?
I can be reached at 734 area code 326-3433.
Excellent.
And for people that do not live in Michigan that are listening to this, John has taken care of many of my clients, and they've all been very, very happy, and they have been returning clients. And so he can take care of people any place.
I do have clients all over the world. Now, I am going to make a little offer today to people.
Okay.
My website is a membership website. It's very inexpensive. I think it's less than $10 a year to become a member.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do, first come, first serve, people who sign up for the website during the next 10 days will receive a personal mini forecast for 2011 from me via email.
Excellent. Wow, that's great.
So just a little promotional thing there, and that way they can get a free mini reading. And I think that people enjoy the website. We've put a lot into it, and we've got a lot of plans for it in the future.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, even though John's been talking about personal responsibility and we all have to step up and do our part.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with seeking some advice. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing embarrassing. Put your ego in check. Put it back in the holster. And every once in a while, it's really a good idea. I mean, Lynn and I will sit around and we'll go, you know, we really need to get, we should run that by John. I mean, we've gone as far as we can and
uh-huh.
you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for a little advice on the outside. And, John will fit right into that.
Well, I have done pretty well with that over the years. I've got
yes,
a lot of
have.
In business. Yeah.
Yes, you have. So John's website is Future Bliss. That's Future Bliss, BLISS, all one word, .org.
And his phone number is area code 734-326-3433. And if John is with a client, he... answering machine voicemail will pick it up, and he'll get a hold of you, and so you can make an appropriate appointment, make sure that you've got enough time segued away so that you can get the full scope and meaning of all your questions answered and run things up the flagpole and get some good advice as to where John and you can, you know, kind of figure out where are the energetics in your life and what's some good directions to go into.
Well,
John,
thanks,
do you still, Do you still do the tapes with the people?
On the phone, I don't do the tapes. You know, they probably have to take notes.
Okay.
Or they can record it on their end, but I don't record them for them.
Okay, but if you come in person, you still record
Well,
them.
Yeah, in person, I always make a tape for everyone. You know, tapes are getting a little hard to come by. I might have to go to CDs in the future, get a CD recorder. But we, you know, I think it's all pretty clear. And, you know, when I do the reading, I make it very clear to someone, you know, what I'm seeing and what may help them if they take my advice.
I know we listened to the tapes all the way back from Michigan when we came in October, and listened all the way back, and they were outstanding.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed them, and I certainly appreciate all the kind words that you guys have given me today. It's been great talking to you.
We've thoroughly enjoyed our time with you today. And couldn't think of a better way to introduce
start the new year.
And we can tell all of our listeners that we've never been steered wrong with working with John. When we listen to the advice and take it in our souls and respond appropriately, things do move in a forward direction for us. So John has been one of our choices along the way, and one of our viable options. So let's get it all in there. And,
thank you very much, guys. And of course, you know, you have inspired me in many ways, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful 2011, and we'll be talking a little further down the page then. You have a good day now.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Well, that was really great. I really enjoyed that one. I love talking to John on any subject, really.
We can hardly wait to listen to it when this show is archived, because we're going to listen to it again.
Because we miss most of the stuff that we're talking about unless we listen to it again. So, well, our guest on January 15th will be Marcus Robinson. Marcus is a financial planner, and he will answer questions on one of the most stressful situations of our life, and that's money and how to make it grow.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a lot of money to go to a financial planner, and I always thought you did, but you don't, and which that was very secure for me, because I always thought you'd have to have tens of thousands of dollars before you could sit down with a financial planner, because if you didn't have money, what's there to plan? But actually, it's just the other way around. So he'll be here on the 15th, and he'll answer all your questions if you want to call in and ask a question. If not, email us questions to ask him so he can answer them on the air.
And if you would like to email us a question or a comment about the show or some subject matter for future guests, choices along the way at yahoo.com, or you can contact us through our website, choicesalongtheway.com, or viableoptions.com. Email is always the best. That way we've got a good record of it, and we can give it the attention that it certainly deserves. We really appreciate the opportunity to share these choices along the way with you, and we've got a lot of fundamentals that we're going to be working on over the year, and John is one of the fundamental places that we've started and worked with, and financial planning is certainly going to be a good one with Marcus. So blessings to each and every one of you for a healthy, happy, and prosperous 2011, and I guess it's time for the outgoing music at 3:55 Central Time. So take us out, and everybody have a wonderful day. You feel the power, just feel the power of